We've been told that the president's economic team is exhausted.
Some people will take my lunch.
We have a double dip coming in housing.
There's no way that I'm going to take the flag down.
Hey, this is Charles Barkley. I'm a dumbass.
Was an attractive cat.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And through the looking glass, we go. To find that Disney finally suspends a Muslim employee that won't take off her hijab. A homeowners association fines a man for flying the Tea Party flag. This is a new flag controversy at homeowners associations, the Tea Party flag. And they've asked him to take that down. Don Parsley and Dr. Ron Tarner join us this evening. Mr. Parsley will be up in just a moment. He's written a book called A Mother's Sin, A Son's Regret. And our affiliate spotlight tonight in West Palm Beach, WBZT, 1230 a.m. And in Toronto, Canada, the great CFRB, 1010 a.m. Happy to be on the air, not only in the United States, but North America in Toronto and our friends north of the border. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. And our website, philhendryshow.com, with a new podcast this week from Mavis Leonard entitled, Where Would You Like to Be Shot? And you got to hear it to believe it. And also, we've got new downloads available. We make them every day, 2004 July, all a download now there at philhendryshow.com in our archives. And other exciting news coming your way very, very shortly. There was a story here about a local hero, and it was ironic that we'd hear this story today because we do have Don on the line who has a similar story relative to his experience as an investor. And we'll tell you about that. But first, this young man apparently saved a kid's life. He's a 33-year-old Portland, Oregon man. He saved a kid's life in Detroit Lake, Oregon. And his grandmother, in an effort to get his name spelled correctly in a newspaper, called up the newspaper, got the name spelled correctly, and this redounded negatively because the newspaper contacted the police and found out this guy was wanted for a crime, and he was arrested. And we can get into that story a little bit later on, but I saw that story today, Don, and I thought, how ironic.
A little bit of my story in that, Phil. I don't know how much. I'm certainly not going to jail.
No, you're not. Not at all, but I guess it was a phone call from your mother to a potential business partner that brought on this book, right?
That's it in a nutshell. And the other thing is that this book that I've written and that I'm hoping is going to be eventually, I think, made available to the American people, and I'm very hopeful that we can get some notoriety from the Oprah Winfrey's book club. I think it's unusual because we are saying in the book that it's all right to, sometimes it's all right to hate your mother.
To hate your mother?
Yes, sir.
What is the sojourn for you? How did this begin?
For me, investing in a possible bed and breakfast. There's a bed and breakfast business in Savannah, Georgia. I had met two or three investors who are going to go in on this, and I had said that we'd like to consider it as well. And we got the proposal. We took a look at some of the numbers, my wife and I, and decided that we'd go ahead and invest a portion of the dollars, and then we would ladder that money up as time went along.
All right, so you had an investment opportunity at a bed and breakfast in where?
In Savannah, Georgia.
All right.
Part of the process of creating a business partnership on paper, making it a legal partnership so you can do business, is exchanging paperwork. And we exchanged not only our financials, but also personal references. My wife had put on, as one of my personal references, my mother, Maureen Parsley, in Denver, Colorado, and they contacted her, and that's when everything basically went to hell. And excuse my French, I put it in the book.
When you say everything went to hell, the other investors contacted your mother, Maureen Duffy.
I'm sorry,
Maureen Parsley. Forgive me. Maureen Duffy's a girl I went to school with. How did that name go? I don't know.
My mother is Maureen Parsley in Denver, Colorado.
All right, and they had contacted her, and this was part of the normal vetting process?
Yeah, because this was going to be a partnership of four individuals investing in this, and we were going to formalize the partnership legally in the process of exchanging our financials as well as personal reference information. My wife had put down my mother's name, and one of the partners had made the phone call.
Who is this partner? Can you give me his name?
Larry Thompson is his name. He's a native of Savannah.
Okay.
And he called my mother, and that's when she, without any negative phone call to me or contacting me or anything, my wife was the one that gave the name. I told him that I had been let out early on work release. I've been let out early from a work farm in Wyoming for a conviction I had on trafficking marijuana, which was a trumped-up charge anyway.
And all right, now, you had been on a work farm for trafficking marijuana.
That was a charge in Wyoming, yeah. And that was in the late 1990s. Which is a trumped-up charge.
Were you in possession of marijuana?
I was in possession of marijuana. I was not in possession of marijuana to sell.
Generally, that has to do with the amount, though, doesn't it?
Well, see, this again is a situation where I was driving a truck with this marijuana in the bed of the truck. We had a burned-out taillight, got pulled over to the Wyoming State Patrol, and I was arrested, and the man that I was with lied to the Wyoming State Patrol and said he was a hitchhiker and he didn't know me. And
so you got stuck with the arrest.
I got stuck with the arrest. So I wound up on a work farm, and my mother told one of these partners that we were going to invest with, she said my son was on a work farm for possession of marijuana, intent to sell. And well, when I heard that, I got the call.
How did you find out about that?
Well, my wife told me because the investor, this Mr. Thompson, called her and said, we got some bad news back on Don's personal reference. His mother says that he'd been in prison or on a work farm. I hadn't been in prison. It's more like a county. It was a state work farm, but it wasn't a federal prison or anything. Anyway, he said, we are going to have to suspend our business with Don at this time and most likely cancel our agreement because we're not comfortable with that.
And your wife told you this, huh?
My wife told me. I said, how did this? She said, your mother. And I remember, and this is why I got the idea for writing a book called A Mother's Sin, A Son's Regret, why it's, the hatred comes up in you. And I remember balling my fist up and I could see my mother's face, and I wanted to just smash and smash.
But isn't it true, Don, as you tell us this story here this evening about this lost business opportunity, it was your own fault?
No, it was not my fault.
No, well,
it was not my fault. It was my mother who has a history in our family of doing and saying things that have caused others to lose great opportunities in their lives. My father and my uncle and now me and others and my mother.
No, but I'm saying your mother told these potential investors with you a truth story, right?
If a phone call, a personal reference, they're supposed to say things about you that are good. When my mother told him that I had been on a work farm for marijuana possession of a controlled substance with intent to sell was essentially the charge, I wanted to smash her and smash her and smash and beat her and beat her and beat her.
All right, our number here, hold on, Don, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL is the number. You're listening to Don Parsley. Mr. Parsley has written a book called A Mother's Sin, A Son's Regret, Hating Your Mother. And right now it's being shopped around. I heard of your book right after we, read this story, and we had seen that you were, you'd had a press release out on this book of this grandmother telling the police about her grandson. But your mother wasn't trying to turn you into the police. Your mother wasn't trying to do anything other than give you a good reference. Isn't that true?
I don't know how you can look at it that way, because if you see what this woman did...
Well, what I mean, Don, is this, and I don't know if our listeners may have a different opinion, 877-876-PHIL, but I'm saying she was trying to say to these potential investors... He got out early from jail, and he was he had a good...
Well, see, you're taking her side, and I'm the victim, and that's the problem we have in America, where you don't know who the victim is. I'm the victim. She's the one that victimized me.
But I'm not trying to take anybody's side. What I'm saying to you, Don, is that your mother said to these investors... This is a good thing. My son was released from jail early. He showed himself to be responsible and good behavior in jail. He got out early, and now he is responding positively to his role in society. Do you not see it that way?
No, I do not see it that way. I see it as one more example of how she's victimized me and my father, who
How was your father victimized by her?
My father died at a very young age. My father died at 62, which is very young. And I don't have the information yet, but I'm amassing information. And when I finally do have the information I need, because I am almost certain she drove him to an early grave. And I look at other members of my the men in my family. My brother is a successful. My brother's been successful in marketing and owns his own business. And I wonder what she did to get him to be successful and to have me be a failure. And that's why I'm saying that in the book, A Mother's Sin, A Son's Regret, Why You Can Hate Your Mother, here I am ready to own a bed and breakfast, and they call her up for a reference, and she says that I was on a work farm in Wyoming.
So, as far as you're concerned, there is nothing redeeming about what your mother did.
No, how could there be anything redeeming? That's what I'm asking you.
Well, I'm just saying, if she intended, you know, and there are those who would say,
well, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, Mr. Henry. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and I'm saying,
well, look,
I'm saying that my mother, with her telling this guy that I'd been on a work farm for marijuana possession, and now you're taking her side, you have to understand who the victim is. You have to see this my way, because I've written a book, and I've got a book to sell now. I've got to get something out of this, and with you taking my mother's side, now you are soiling, you're soiling all over it, my effort to sell a book.
No, sir, I don't want to do that.
That's what you're doing, no, you're saying my mother is right in betraying me, in being a traitor to me, and you're saying she was right.
No, I'm not saying she was right. I'm saying that it was an honest mistake.
Her honest mistake, and I'm bleeding, and I've got a book.
All right, Don, hang on. 877-876-PHIL is our number. This guy is. Written a book, A Mother's Regret. Apparently, he was ready to invest a lot of money into a bed and breakfast until they found out that he had been in jail for the possession of dangerous drugs or possession of a controlled substance. When his partners found out, they didn't want to do business with him. And his mother is the one that said he'd been in jail. 877-876-PHIL. Did she do a good thing, or did she betray her son? He's written a book saying that he's a victim here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming right back.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line is Don Parsley from Denver, Colorado. He's invested in a bed and breakfast in Savannah, Georgia, where this business deal went south as the result of his mother, a personal reference, talking to other investors and saying that her son had been in jail, had in fact been on a work farm in Wyoming for possession of a controlled substance for sale, to wit, marijuana. Correct, Don?
Yeah.
And you have written this book, A Mother's Sin, A Son's Regret, Hating Your Mother, because that's essentially what's happened to you.
Well, what's happened to me, is, I think, is the normal thing. My mother had said to this man that I had been in jail, and that says a lot of things. I'm a jailbird. And
well, she said it was a work farm.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. And then she says, and my son got out of jail early on work release, and she says to me, I went to her house, and I knocked on the door to talk to her about this, and she wouldn't answer the door.
And why?
I don't know why.
Well, had you not called her?
I had called her, yeah. And
she didn't want to talk to you.
Well, she may not want to talk to me, but you understand that when I heard that they didn't want to do this business deal, all I could see was her face, and all I could see was my fist. And I wanted to pound away and beat and pound. And so...
That's dangerous, Don, and anybody would not want to talk to you.
I wanted to talk to her, and I threw a brick through her window, and I admit to that, and I've got a restraining order. Now I can't do anything but say that she...
You threw a brick through your mother's window, and now there's a restraining order. So this thing has escalated to an extremely dangerous area that anybody would be frightened of, that anyone would be scared of.
But on your program, you're the first person that has interviewed me anywhere in America, and I've been on a number of radio programs who's made it look like I'm the one that caused this problem. My mother basically crucified me. She put me on a cross and nailed me up. I had a business deal that was going to be sweet, and she nailed me to a cross in a hell, in a desert hell.
877-876-PHIL is the number on a world famous Phil Hendry show. Mark in Atlanta, you're on the Phil Hendry show with Don Parsley. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I think that guy is really an idiot. How could you feel that way about your own mother? All she did was tell the truth, you know. And he did the crime. He had to do the time.
Wait a minute. I did the time. I was in jail. Now comes an opportunity for me to have a business opportunity, and she tells them I'm a jailbird. And I'll tell you what. I would have smacked. There's nothing that I would.
You're angry still, aren't you?
Is this something new? Is this something new between you and your mother, or just something that's always been?
What do you mean something new?
That way.
If you had the opportunity to make some money and your mother opened her mouth and nothing but sewage came out of it and it stunk everything you've ever worked on, you know.
Buddy, you got a weird phone, man.
I'm getting feedback on your phone, dude. I'm getting feedback on your phone. He's scaring me.
All right. Well, maybe there's something wrong with it.
No, this guy. Are you a cop? Are you a cop?
No.
He's a cop. You're a cop.
All right. Thank you. That's what he thinks. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Jacob in Raleigh, North Carolina. Jacob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Parsley.
I don't want to talk to any police officers.
I don't know that we have any police officers calling.
Yeah, I just...
Yes, sir.
I just had a problem with what's happening here and the fact that you keep saying that you're a victim. And really, you need to take responsibility for your actions. Like your mother was just...
Right.
Honest.
I did. I went to jail.
Going to jail. You go to jail, but that follows you for your life. I mean, that's what happens. That's the price.
Right.
Pay.
But does my mother? Yes. But does my mother? Is my mother one of the? Is she one of the vultures too? I know.
Should she lie? Should she lie for you?
Has she got to volunteer it?
Your son ever gone to jail?
Has she got to stand there on the phone like she's talking to some salesman because she loves to talk to salesmen, and now she's going to get a pat on the head and volunteer it? You understand what happened? It's one thing to lay your own son on a cross. It's another thing to drive the nails through his hands with glee.
Well, I think it's admirable of her.
That's
to,
a little.
Despite her son and what this could mean for him, for her to be honest,
right.
When somebody says, "What is
admirable?
Your about this?" admirable, because
and, Mr. Henry, when you get anybody on the phone that wants to talk truth to me,
I think this man's being very honest. Jacob, thank you. We'll be back here 877-876 Phil. Don Parsley's mother messed up a deal for him. We'll be back.
Yeah, admirable.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Ron Tarner is going to be joining us next hour. Dr. Tarner will be talking about the latest attempt to circumnavigate the globe as a solo sailor by a young person, and this a young Dutch girl. And Dr. Tarner's own son, Dennis, is going to talk to us about that as well when we join Dr. Tarner in our next hour. Right now we have Don Parsley on the line, the author of A Mother's Sin, A Son's Regret, and Hating Your Mother. And this was a book that came about after Mr. Parsley's mother had informed one of his potential business partners that he, Don, had been on a work farm, a jail work farm, a prison work farm, for possession of a controlled substance for sale. It was marijuana. He was released early, and his mother told his potential partner this as good news, Don. And you have taken this to mean nothing other than a betrayal.
Good news. This is when you don't know the shot, and as the saying goes, when you don't know the shot, keep your mouth shut. Now, I will tell you something, Phil.
This is your mother you're talking about.
It doesn't matter if I'm talking about my mother. I've been on a lot of television shows and radio shows over the last probably 3 weeks in. Talking about my book. Yours is the very first show that I've been on that I've had you telling me that I've got some kind of a problem. I don't have a problem.
You're telling me you're a victim here.
Yeah, and most of the shows I've been on have said that, yes, I am a victim, because they understand how my mother opened her mouth and she blew me and my family out of a possible $10 to $15 million deal. But she can't shut up, and I remember walking down the street, and I saw a sign for Wine and Cheese Festival in a window, and I put my fist against that glass. I cracked it. I couldn't. And the reason why I did that is because when I saw Wine and Cheese Festival, it reminded me of my mother. If she could have not said.
You know, your book is going to be an interesting read, but I can't tell you that I have, and I don't know that my listeners either, have much sympathy for a man who says that he hates his mother when she was trying to do the best.
You're hurting my career as an author. The audience was on my side, willing to buy my book. Then you get them to root in favor of my mother, and all I wanted was a shot on the Oprah Winfrey Book Club that, of course, as you know, is very important. But it's always my mother. It's always her. And that's what the book is about.
All right, let me take a phone call.
Yeah, you take a phone call. But all I see is her, and all I want to do is hurt.
877-876-PHIL. She's got a restraining order on you, doesn't she?
You want to make it worse, don't you?
I just asked. She's got a restraining order because you put a brick through her window.
She's got a restraining order. I should have had a restraining order on her so that someone would have put a fist in her face.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to Angela here. Angela, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Parsley. Go ahead, ma'am.
Don, your mother is not the reason why you are in the position that you're in. First and foremost,
right,
you have to blame yourself.
Yes, she is.
Second
yes,
of all,
she
you have to blame. You need to blame your wife for putting your mother's name on that piece of paper as a personal reference. If you all have
good
had
point.
Problems in the past, there's no way in hell you should have put her name down to be a reference for you. And you
all she
have
had to do is shut
all
shut
of that,
that buffet hole. If my mother had shut the buffet hole under her nose, and I call it a buffet hole because that's how she eats. She steals.
You know what? You have, something is wrong with you. I hope this
is just
a ploy to sell books. I hope that's what this is, because something is seriously wrong with you. You need to take a look at yourself. If you would have disclosed that information to your potential partners, that you had gotten yourself into some trouble, but your life has gone into a different direction, maybe you would have been able to get that bed and breakfast. Don't blame your mother. Your mother is not your problem. You and your wife is the problem. You should have been disclosed that.
Don't you feel you should be able to trust members of your family? And all my mother had to do was to shut it for 5 minutes. She didn't have
to call your mother and say, Mom, I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do this. I'm going to use you is it okay? First and foremost, is it okay that I use you for a reference?
I think this lady's got a good point. Why does your wife put down the name of your mother?
It's a normal thing to do, Mr. Hendry. They wanted the names of family members. I didn't think that my mother was so degenerated, was so despicable, that she'd get on the phone with a business partner and say, and my son was on a work farm.
You are despicable for talking about your mother that way.
Oh, my God. How can you say that about...
Because your mother is not the cause of your problems. You are. You're the one that sold the dope. You're the one had the drugs in your car. You're the one had the bad tail light. You should have called your mother and said, Mom, I'm trying to get into this business venture, and I need you for a reference. All I need you to do is say, yes, my son this or no, my son that. All that other stuff, you should have discussed
that. You said that your mom put your father in an early grave. You said something about your brother.
I didn't think that my mother was so devoid of a soul. And that's what
you
we're talking about here. We're talking.
You are
how am
crazy.
I crazy?
I hope this does to sell books.
Are you telling me?
I hope this is just to
Oprah,
sell books.
I hope it does sell books. I want Oprah Winfrey to tell my story
Oprah.
Because I'm going to tell you this.
Man, you think you're going on Oprah? You must
She's
be out of
read.
Mind. You are
Ma'am,
out of your mind. You stay with the Phil Henry Show on this late night talk show. Maybe somebody will give you. You need some psychological help.
You think? No, I got much bigger fish to fry than this guy's little spit and glue operation.
Well, you need to.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks. I'm the guy that's listened to you. Oprah Winfrey isn't talking to you.
Oprah Winfrey will talk to me if you stop positioning me. This lady, I'm a victim in this.
All right, look at Angela, thank you. 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. If you're a victim, and the lady brought up some very good points, okay?
She didn't bring up any good points. She said that my mother should never have been contacted. It is not a difficult thing. It's not a difficult thing to ask your mother to keep her mouth shut long enough not to completely blow to $15 million deal, and I wind up being laid on a cross, and I have nails put in.
Well, I heard the lady say that that you've got a few screws loose.
I don't have screws loose.
Well, it sounds to me like you are very emotional over this. 877-876-PHIL. Dave in Ontario. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
In a nutshell, this is a classic case of shooting the messenger. If anyone was going to go into business with this gentleman to the tune of millions of dollars, as he has said, they would run a standard criminal background check on him ahead of time, which would have turned up the same information.
You know something? The fact is, it might have and it might not have. But what is my own mother, my flesh and blood, doing? Opening what my father used to call that buffet hole under her nose. And
I've heard the buffet hole thing.
Well, my mother, anything for free.
Well, it sounds like
what
your mother
you
told the truth, and that's where you've got an issue with it.
She was trying to help. If she told the truth, then she should. She was trying to help me.
Yeah, that's the point. She was trying to say to these investors, my son is a good man. He was in jail, but he was out early because he showed to the authorities that he had the intent of rejoining society. Isn't that what the early release from that work farm was about?
That's what that was about. But
well, that was what your mother was trying to say.
You don't tell business investors I can't even get two men who sound like they're both successful men, Mr. Henry, you and this. I can't even get you guys to understand. I understand that other lady. She's a woman.
What I can understand is that you're trying to blame your past indiscretions on the fact that your mom told somebody about it. And I would think that an adult could stand for themselves without having to worry about their mommy.
Oh, so you think I've regressed to some point where I've got a mommy thing?
That's certainly what it sounds like to me, yes. It sounds like you have issues with your mother, and this is the way you're taking
it. I've got a mommy thing, why? Because I want to ask you a question. I want you to answer me honestly. Have you ever wanted to strangle your own mother?
Never. Not for a moment.
That is such a lie.
That's what the man said.
That is. I think it's a normal thing to want to strangle and beat.
Like a lot of people are saying here, Don, there's issues, okay?
Yeah, issues. This is psychobabble for, you know what, you did have a chance, but we don't like you because you dealt marijuana, and that's drugs, and that's bad.
No, I don't hear that prejudice here at all. I thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Cheryl in Desert Hot Springs, California. Cheryl, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi.
I'm listening to this story, and it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, that his mother was unaware.
Hold on for a minute. There's ladies on the line. Yes? No, go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, okay. That mom was probably older and unaware that she was probably saying something out of turn. And 99%.
She is older. Yes, ma'am. She is older. And old people should know that the first thing they do is keep their mouth shut because they know that.
Why do you talk about an elderly person like that?
I'm not talking to her. I'm talking to you and this lady.
Right.
Go ahead,
well,
Cheryl.
The point I was just making is she probably was just chatting, and it affected
well,
you
it.
Adversely. It's a horrible thing that happened to you. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is something that you didn't had issues in the past, or if this was the only issue, either way, you have to look forward and say, okay, this didn't happen, but something's better coming because of it. What can I do now? And move forward. You're so stuck with this negative that nothing good's going to come into your life.
Ma'am, if you'd be all right with someone saying, here is a gold bar, no, on second thought, you don't get to have it. If you're okay with that, well, you're better than me.
I didn't say you have to stay with it. What you have to do is move forward. You know, this happened.
That's what happened to me.
It's done.
Like someone came into my home and said, here's a gold bar. No, on second thought, no, you don't get it.
No, that's not what happened to you. What happened to you was there was a potential for a gold bar, but there were a lot of obstacles to negotiate, and one of them wasn't negotiated properly. And Cheryl is saying something very important. A lot of old people like to talk.
That's what I'm trying. Neither one of you and no one on your phone, and I know the lady laughed about Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey would understand this. Old people can't shut up. And I'll bet you there hasn't been a good idea that hasn't been destroyed by an old lady.
So move on, get another deal, and don't put your mom on there. Good luck with it all.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I think that's it. Thank you very much, Cheryl. I appreciate your phone call. I think that was an extremely rude response.
What?
To that lady. Yeah, thanks.
I feel it. You know, these people, I said, I've never encountered this on any talk show. Again, I will only reiterate that my mother, yes, is an elderly woman, and there hasn't been a good idea. There hasn't been a thing of purity and beauty. There hasn't been a thing of sweetness and light. And something that is elevated and something that is good that hasn't been soiled and made to smell foul by an old lady.
By an old lady.
Yeah. That's what she did to me. And now there's a restraining order on me. So I got waterboarded. That's what happened to me. My own mother waterboarded me and there's a restraining order on me. If you saw the photographs from the prison in Iraq when the men were naked and they were piled on top of each other, that was my mother taking the picture.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. If you hear me pausing, I pause for the same reason a lot of you pause. I think that there is more going on here than just the idea that his mother opened her mouth. I think there is a profound emotional disturbance. Don Parsley on the line. His mother told potential investors that her son had been in jail. She was trying to say as a good thing because he got an early release, but now he is, it's ruined the investment, and he's written a book called A Mother's Regret, A Mother's Sin, A Son's Regret. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I was waterboarded.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, our final segment here with Don Parsley. The book is called A Mother's Sin, A Son's Regret, Hating Your Mother. And you were asking me about what, a film?
Called Boogie Night, if you saw that movie.
I did see that, yeah.
At the very beginning of that film, Dirk Diggler has an argument with his mother. And that, I think, Mr. Hendry, you have to understand, there's not a son in America, there's not a man who has a mother, a man who's a son, who hasn't at one time or another thought about holding her under the water, you know, in the deep end of the pool. It is a normal thing, and for you...
There isn't a son, you're saying that there isn't a son in America, there isn't a son in the world that hasn't fantasized about killing his own mother? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you, if you were honest, this is a normal reaction when a mother... An old woman blows a $15 million business opportunity.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, aren't you going to respond to that, or are you just going to go to a phone call? Aren't you going to... that's what you've done throughout the entire hour.
I'll respond to it. Yeah, I'll respond to it. I think you're absolutely wrong when you say that there isn't a son out there that hasn't wanted to hold his mother under the deep end of the pool. I think that's a little psycho.
Oh, God. That is the most typical reaction... And that's why you're not very creative, and that's why that one lady said, Oprah Winfrey, that's a cut above what you do, mister.
That may be, sir. And you can put me down all you want, but it doesn't deny the fact of what I'm saying. 877-876-PHIL. Brian in Denver, Colorado, listening on KTNI. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you, Phil, and hi, Don. Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand with the partner thing, you know, it's the partner's decision to make the choice of whatever they've done. Coming with your mother, you know, I think there's a lot more to the whole situation from the past of what she just said in this one time. There's hatred going
talking
on.
About coming with my mother's not part of the deal. What are you talking about?
No.
My mother's the one that opened her mouth.
She told the truth, and... And, you know, it's so be done. What I'm trying to say is the partner, or your partner's decision at that time to just say, no, we'd rather not. They can invest more into it.
I know what happened, but my mother could have shut her mouth. That's what the book's about. The book's called The Truth. I know the truth. Look, you know, the truth is also the following thing. You don't mention it. You don't have to say...
What about that gentleman that called and said they're going to do a standard criminal check?
I don't know that that's the case, Mr. Hendry. And it's
I agree with everybody that called in. You know, I think there's a lot more to the picture.
Of course you do. Mr. Hendry has made it so that all of you will agree that I look like an ass and a half.
No, I haven't made anything look like anything. You were the guy that came on here and said that when you think of your mother, you think of violence. You put a rock through her window. She's got a restraining order on you. You talk about drowning her in the deep end of the pool. You've mentioned at least three times how when you see her face and you want to punch it with her fist.
I didn't say I want to punch it with her fist.
You want to punch her with your fist.
And I'm saying to you that that's a normal thing. That every man feels at one time or another. And if you saw the movie, to the gentleman on the phone, Brian?
Sir.
Yeah, did you see Boogie Night?
No, sir.
Okay, at the beginning of Boogie Night, he hates his mother. That's what happened.
at the beginning of Boogie Nights, there's an argument between the principal and his mother. So?
So you shouldn't have to hate anybody for whatever's being done. You know what? Pray for him, bless him, and you know what? It's done. You have so much anger, I feel sorry for you. I wouldn't want to be in business with you by listening to you
Diggler
over the radio.
That's what my mother wanted to do. My mother wanted to...
She didn't want anything. She was speaking the truth, number one. And number two, you should honor your mother and father. It's number one commandment, and you're not even doing that.
Sir, this isn't Sunday. I don't need a sermon, okay?
Mother, I'm just telling you the way life is.
If you saw Dirk Diggler in Boogie Night, you would have seen a man and...
Look at Brian, thank you. Very good call, very good points. I think all's been said.
If you saw Dirk Diggler in Boogie Night, and I don't even have one that big, so at least he's got that. At least when they pulled it, he pulled it out at the end of the movie. Never mind.
Yeah, okay, man. Phil Hendry Show.
Pulled it out at the end of the movie. Phil Hendry.
I guess Dr. Ron Turner's next, that's what they said.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
If you want to fly a flag that represents something you believe in.
Some people will take my lunch. They'll call me names.
After months of promising
my back, my breast.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
Boy, what a headache.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night. Truth is our bitch, and through the looking glass we go, and we have gone, and, I guess you might say that we're running point on this thing. World famous Phil Hendry Show, our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendrie. Is the way you spell my last name, philhendryshow.com. Go over there right now, get a backstage pass. You can watch a live streaming video of our show right now, live streaming video and audio. Our archives go back years and years and years. This is the 20th year of the Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, loved and admired by many in and out of the business. And let's see, what else can we say about it, bud? We have our podcasts. We have the daily podcast. We have a mini podcast. We have the classic Phil podcast. Brother, since we got all this mail from people, what about the podcast? We got more podcasts now, man. You know, don't tell me you need podcasts now, because we got plenty of those. All right. And we're working on an iPhone app. And, I mean, there isn't one thing that people have asked us for that we aren't at least considering. All right. So check it out there, philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Now, this is a fascinating story here, and it has to do with yet another young person circumnavigating the globe, but this young lady isn't the only one. There are at least two or three others. We're going to be talking in a moment here with Dr. Ron Turner, and Dr. Turner is with the Mountain Meadow Observatory, and he will be telling us about his son, Dennis, who also will be attempting a circumnavigation of the globe solo. Now, this is a 14-year-old girl from the Netherlands, aiming to become the youngest person to sail solo around the world, and she is sailing in very, very good weather right now. She's out there on the seas toward the Canary Islands off the northern coast of Africa. According to her manager, the first 48 hours of Laura Decker's controversial voyage have gone very, very smoothly. And there are a lot of people who don't like this. They think that it's taking advantage of young people. They think that it's the usurious of a young person. It's an interesting concept, especially we've talked so much on this program. Ron Turner with us at the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. Ron, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and very much welcome to the opportunity to talk about this. And I wanted to tell you that I ran into more people this weekend. I was in Denver, who are big fans of the Phil Hendry Show there on, I think it's The Truth.
Yes, KTNI, The Truth.
Big fans of your show, and they wanted me to say hello to you. And so I wanted you to know that.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. What do you think of that concept, Ron, about kids being used by parents?
Well, I think it's all wrong. I think when you look at the exuberance and enthusiasm of a young person wanting to break a record like the youngest person to circumnavigate the globe. And let's remember something. The person that holds the record right now is that young man from the California family. And I forget the name of the family.
Yeah, it was very, very recent, and I do too. And I'm embarrassed by that.
Well, he holds the record, and you don't even remember his name. But do you remember the name of his sister?
No, well, Laura, I think. If I'm going to get my producer. What's the name of the kids that hold the record? Why don't you work on that one more for me, bud?
Well, but the point that I'm making is nobody remembers the name of the people that hold the record because it is not a record of distinction. I don't think the people that are holding the record are distinguished people. What I think is that my son, Dennis, is a young man who is going to be...
Abby Sunderland. We just got that.
Well, all right. You interrupted me.
I'm sorry, but I just wanted to get the name.
All right, Abby Sunderland. But no one remembers her name. My son, Dennis, this is going to be the most memorable circumnavigation of the globe, Phil, because... he has no sailing experience.
I got to interrupt you here for a second.
All right, Phil, but you've already told me her name is Abby Sunderland, so you've given her all of the...
No, it's not that, but it was the situation there at the community college there, at Cumberland Community College, with the Deadpool.
I understand, yes.
You remember that, and there was a suspension?
No, there was no suspension. There was no suspension. And I want to reiterate that. I never was suspended.
But did you have a Deadpool going?
We had. Are you referring about the Laura Decker?
Yes, I'm referring to the young Netherlands girl.
We had a bet going with some of the other professors as an interest because my son is studying sailing and, as I said, is eventually going to go out and break this record. And when I heard that this Dutch kid was attempting to break this record, I made a remark to, Jeff Humphreys, who's one of the, a chemistry professor, and I said, what do you think? And he said, about what? I said, I think the kid is going to die, and I didn't mean anything personal by that, Phil. I'm just saying that it's a very difficult voyage, and there's every likelihood... being a Dutch sailor, not an American sailor. The Dutch have no global fleet. The Dutch have no way of rescuing one of their nationals if they get into trouble on the high seas. This young girl, if she gets into trouble, the Dutch are going to have to rely on the good graces of the American Navy or some other Navy that has a reach. And there's every likelihood that this young lady will die. Do I want it to happen? No, I don't.
But the point is, the community college found that Deadpool, or whatever it was...
there were a half a dozen other professors, and we suspended it. It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. I've got a little bit of... I'm sorry you brought it up. I understand you had to bring it up, but I'd like to move on.
Well, I understand that you want to move on, but you have a son that is going to be attempting a circumnavigation of the globe, and then you have a Deadpool that almost got you suspended... at the community college.
This community college job that I'm doing I'm doing a favor for a friend. I have a full-time director's job at the observatory. I do not have, to be quite honest with you, the time to wet nurse an entire staff of professors at a community college that can't seem to keep its funding straight. So I if they want me to wet nurse a community college staff, I can't do that.
All right, I understand, but the fact of the matter remains that you had this Deadpool, and they found it to be tasteless. Now, I'm not saying that you wanted the girl to die. I'm not saying that you have that intention, but you nonetheless, you think it's very unlikely, I guess is the word, that she's going to survive this, that she's going to come out the other side of this.
I think it is, and I will be honest with you. If my son is circumnavigating the globe, then why wouldn't I hope for that to happen? But I can't. I can't say that publicly, so I won't.
And yet that's what exactly the community college was saying. You were walking around there saying that this Laura Decker is as good as dead. She's too young. She comes from the Netherlands. She won't make it. Your son will. 877-876-PHIL.
I didn't say my son will.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. So your son, Dennis.
Whoa. Let's back up just a little bit. I said Laura Decker, there was a very high likelihood that she would perish on this journey. I was taking bets. I apologized. I returned the money. Now, let's start new, because my son has nothing to do with that.
Your son has nothing to do with that other than the fact that you hope your son makes it and that kid didn't.
I don't think she'll make it. I think she'll die. And I don't want that to happen. If it does, I will feel bad. But I will also feel good because my own son, who is 13, has a shot at holding that record. Now, I want to explain something because you haven't allowed me to explain this. My son, Dennis, has an opportunity to set a world record, and he has never sailed in his life. He is right now taking sailing lessons. I mean from the ground up. Within 4 months, we will have him ready to sail a 33-foot sloop, and he will be able to sail that solo. We also will have him ready.
In 4 months, you're going to have that young man.
May I finish? Can I just finish? Hold on. In 4 months, we're going to have that young man ready to navigate by the stars, not using navigation equipment on a computer. He will be able to navigate by way of the stars and will begin a circumnavigation of the globe. And the reason why we are going to do this is because Dennis recognizes he loves his father very much, as I love him. And he wants his father's name, the family name, to finally take its place in its rightful place in the sciences so that Stephen Hawking is not getting all the accolades.
Stephen Hawking is not a sailor. This has nothing to do with sailing. This has to do with your son and the fact that he's not a sailor and the fact that you're going to put him out on the high seas with experience, what, 4 months of experience?
My son is going to be, listen to me, I'm not going to put my son out there unless I'm certain that he is going to be able to do this.
Why don't you do this, Ron?
Because are you not listening to what I'm saying?
I'm listening to everything you're saying.
Because this is about the youngest person.
But why don't you attempt some kind of a circumnavigation? Why put your son in this situation?
You're disappointed me because what you're doing is you're going down that same road that a lot of these sob sisters go down about, oh, the poor little baby. Look, I'm not saying that Laura Decker should be out there. I'm saying that she probably won't live, just as I didn't think Abby Sunderland would live. And frankly, if they hadn't got to her, Cambodian pirates would have. And that's nothing that I even want to speculate on. I don't know what would have been found after that. I'm sure she would have lived, and I'm sure they would have eventually found her 10 years down the road wearing face paint, but I don't think that it's anything that's pleasant. My son, Dennis, can circumnavigate the globe, and I can finally take my place. Well, if you're talking about...
You know what? You're doing a lot of talking here, Ron, and all I'm hearing is you.
That's what's bothering you.
Yeah, this is about you?
No, it is not about me. It's about the family name and Stephen Hawking in the spotlight for no reason.
And he doesn't sail, huh?
That's very funny.
Well, I'm just asking. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Ron Tarner about the attempted circumnavigation of the globe by his son, Dennis, which will be on the heels of Laura Decker, who is this Netherlands girl.
Well, I don't see any chance of her succeeding.
What makes you think your son, with 4 months of experience, is going to succeed?
Because we have fire. We have the fire of the family name and Hawking, who gets all of the accolades. Maybe Stephen Hawking gets back away from the spotlight once.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Ron Tarner, who was running a Deadpool, thinking that little girl, Laura Decker, wouldn't make it around the world. Now he's saying that his son, Dennis, is going to attempt a circumnavigation of the globe so that Stephen Hawking doesn't get all the accolades in science. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You blew it. You blew it. Not what I said.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. With me is Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cumberland, Colorado. And your son, Dennis, is going to attempt a circumnavigation of the globe by way of solo sail. We saw Abby Sunderland's effort earlier in the summer go awry. Her brother, Zach, holds the record. And we now have a young Dutch sailor, Laura Dekker. So your son will be on the heels of Laura Dekker, who you think won't make it. And I got to tell you, I take issue with you saying that she's going to die. And while you don't want to see that happen,
Well, hold on, Phil. Let's stick to the point here. All right.
No, you said that though.
Let's stick to the point. My son is Dennis Tarner. Dennis is going to attempt and succeed at the circumnavigation of the globe by way of a solo sail. And he is going to do this having never sailed before. We're going to be in Marina del Rey in a month, and we're going to begin to train for this, and we are going to go out and go where others have not gone. And
does your son want to do this?
Does my son? Why would you ask that question? I'm curious.
Because I talked to your ex.
And she said that he doesn't want to do it. I'm sure she...
Yeah, she said that he really doesn't want to do it. He's very frightened of it, but that he is being... In many ways, he's doing it for you, which I think is admirable for that boy.
Of course he's doing it for me, Phil. And
I think it's admirable, but I think for a 13-year-old boy, he's also frightened, and I don't know why you would force him into that.
I'm not forcing him into that, Phil. It is what sons do for fathers. It is the plight, and it is the destiny of a son to fulfill and to bring to fruition the dreams of the father. That is a part of what a son does. That is what we have learned from literature. That is what Hamlet was about. And Eric wants there. Dennis wants to do that for me. And I mentioned Eric, who is my brother, who is a bum, and I say that with the greatest love in my heart. I love my brother Eric, but he's a bum. And Dennis loves his uncle Eric, and Dennis sees me as Hitler. Why? Why does my son love an uncle who is a drunk bum, but sees his own father as Hitler? Because his father wants him to do better.
But you're taking this boy and you're harnessing your dreams to that boy and forcing him out into the ocean. I mean, Ron...
I'm not forcing him out into the ocean. I'm giving him the training that he's going to need. You don't understand. His mother, boy, if I'd known that you were going to be talking to her, I could have saved you years of heartache. You could have talked to me.
And what has this got to do with Stephen Hawking? You've mentioned Hawking. Stephen Hawking, the eminent physicist.
It has everything to do with Stephen Hawking because, as I've written and as I've said publicly, you know, you don't understand the shadow that scientists like myself are under. Stephen Hawking sits in a wheelchair. He casts a shadow that would blacken the moon. And we get no recognition. This is my one and only shot. If I don't make this, Hawking is going to sit in a wheelchair, and to the extent that he's able to laugh, he'll laugh at me. And I forgive me for being emotional.
877-876-PHIL. I mean, it is a slightly emotional topic, but again, harnessing your dreams to your son. 877-876-PHIL here with Dr. Ron Tarner. Let's go to Alan on the Phil Hendry Show. Alan, go ahead.
Hey, dude, you are a seriously selfish individual. I can't believe what I've listened to so far because you want your name. Your son liked his uncle better.
I want my son to be able to have achievement too in his life.
Now, your son realizes his father is selfish and would risk his son's life just because you want your name heard? What is wrong with you?
What are you talking about? Are you not aware that sons fulfill the dreams of fathers?
Yes, they do because they love their father, not because their father forces them to. You're forcing your son to risk his life. I mean, it's dangerous for a seasoned sailor to do this. Never mind a kid with 4 or 5 months' experience. That's just stupid.
Sir, how do you know that your own fear of going out and doing something like that isn't coloring your opinion of me?
And that's not about my fear.
This is not about, this isn't about this man's fear.
Would you let me?
I wouldn't tell my son to get in the car. My son is 9 years old. I wouldn't put him behind the wheel of my car and let him go by himself down the highway, you know, and risk his life to say, look what he did, now say my name. You just want to get your name heard.
That's not what you give a 9-year-old boy to do. But you do give a 13-year-old boy the tiller of a sailboat and you say, circumnavigate the globe. It's been done. You could do it.
No,
you don't
send your son to his death, okay? He's 13 years old with no experience. He doesn't come from a sailing family. He doesn't have a history with sailboats.
Right.
He does nothing of it except for what you gave him for 4 months. And you're going to send him out into the ocean to go around the world, okay? Not around the block, but around the world. That's insane and stupid.
Mr. Henry, your
child should be taken from you because you want to risk
his
life.
I don't hear you stepping up here, Mr. Henry.
Stepping up about what?
He just said that he says it's a death sentence, so he agrees with me that Laura Decker is going to die, and you haven't said, well, there's a point for you, Rod.
I'm not listening for that. This gentleman is saying it's a death sentence for your son, not for what do you mean, Laura Decker?
He just said that it's a death sentence to go around the world, and you can't even give me that.
Hold on, 877-876-PHIL, Dr. Ron Tarner and his son going around the globe in a sailboat.
Phil,
we'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and all over America, North America. With me is Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. You have a TV on in the background, Doctor?
We're watching a little of the we're watching some cable news. It's not what we do here. It's part of the SETI program. You know, there's a lot of monitoring of equipment.
All right. Well, we're talking to Dr. Tarner about his son Dennis, who's going to be attempting a circumnavigation of the globe. He's going to be attempting to sail around the world as the youngest. Your son is 13 years of age. And I've heard you say that your son is going to learn how to do this, even though he doesn't want to do this.
You've been talking to my ex-wife, Cindy, and I know that the two of you have a good relationship, and I'm sure she has lied. And I'll tell you, somebody else who's lying.
No, all she said, Ron, let's be fair, all she said was that Dennis is frightened.
He's going to be fine. He's my son, and I would never do anything to harm him. And if my son goes out there to sail around the world, my son will succeed. Stephen Hawking has spent all of his adult life in a wheelchair, it seems, getting more accolades, more awards, more television shows. He's on Twitter right now, I just saw, claiming to ride a bicycle. This is a man that doesn't know, there's no bottom that this man can hit. To claim to ride a bicycle when you're on television with Lou Gehrig's disease. And
what is this?
It's a Twitter account that Stephen Hawking has got saying, I'm riding a bicycle now.
I don't know of any Stephen Hawking Twitter account. All I know is that you've got your son out there sailing around the world so that Dad can make a big splash.
No, that's not true, Phil.
That's what it sounds like. That's what a lot of people are hearing.
No, that is not true. I'm doing this for a lot of scientists, a lot of men who've been in the shadow, in the 4-foot-high shadow of this man in his bells and whistles wheelchair.
877-876-PHIL. What was the other thing you wanted to...
Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you. Hoveround, I read that Hoveround was ready to ink a deal with Hawking. So he not only has a TV show, he's getting commercial money, an endorsement deal with Hoveround.
Well, we don't know that that's true.
Well, I don't know if it's true, but here he is lying about riding a bicycle, and he's going to get the endorsement. Hoveround is going to give them his money, their money, so he can do what? Talk in a mechanical voice about how wonderful... I'm glad I'm not running their business.
All right, 8-7, so I don't want to talk about any of that, man. We're talking about something specific here, and that is your son and his sailing around the globe. Isaac in Yuma, Arizona. Isaac, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Phil, good evening. And, you know, my only question, I guess, for the doctor that I have is, I guarantee that his PhD is not in parenthood. I am sitting here. I never call a talk show, but as a father, this hurts. This hurts.
Do you have a PhD? Do you have a PhD in parenthood?
Me?
Who does?
I think we're born with it, but unfortunately, this good doctor.
PhD in parenthood? We're born with it?
You know,
I
think it's common sense. And what you're doing is just...
This asshole for plugging his radio station. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Mr. Hendry.
Radio station.
Let me say, I don't think Oprah's got anything on you.
Radio station.
Hold on for a minute. What?
Yes, sir.
He was saying WIII. He was talking about himself.
Pardon me?
Oh, okay. Go on, Mike.
876
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. So your kid goes out there.
When you talk about my kid, what do you mean?
Your son. Your son goes out there on the high seas, okay?
We're not talking about my kid. This is the son of Dr. Ron Tarner. I think that I'm entitled to that distinction, aren't I? I'm entitled to have my son known as the son of Rod Tarner, not some kid.
Well, you think that your son is going to be circumnavigating the globe as a sailor. You think he's going to become a great sailor.
Look, Mr. Henry, let's just not for a moment talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that you hung up on a guy just because he said WIII. And you thought he was plugging some show he's got.
What is it with you, man?
What is it with you? That man was making a good point.
He was talking about you being an egomaniac.
I know he was. He was talking about me being an egomaniac. God, I wish I could say that.
Egomaniac.
Yes, an egomaniac. But you blew it by dumping him and hanging up on him because you thought he was plugging his show on WIII.
All right, so I made... Are you trying to tell me how to do my radio show?
No, I'm not trying to tell you. I would bet you, buddy, that...
Hold on, what do you want, bud?
David.
Look, I don't want to go into a whole thing with David.
But he wants to talk to you.
I don't want to go into a whole thing with David G. Hall on the show right now, okay? I've only got a few minutes. 8778... David, yeah?
Yeah, listen, the doctor, I think, is right. That caller was saying WIII as a way of slamming Tarner.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah, well, hold on for a minute, Tarner. And you dumped the call.
I thought he was plugging some radio show.
Not only did you dump the call, you called the guy an a-hole.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, I'm sorry I have to jump in here, but I was driving down the road and I was wondering what happened.
Do you mind if I just run my own show the way I run my show and not have you guys tell me how to do it?
Well, Phil, we're not trying to tell you how to...
Would you... David, thank you very much.
Wait a minute. I'm not done. You can't hang up on me.
I just did.
Well, you're a better man than me.
Yes, I am a better man than you. I know how to do a radio show, and I don't need you telling me what to do.
All right. So you want me to get back to the point?
Yeah, the point. The point is your son, 13 years old, doesn't want to do this. You're forcing him to do it.
Any parent would force a kid into doing something that's good for him, yes. If you call that forcing him, yes, I am.
Even though he's frightened?
Because his mother told you that?
Yes, his mother told me that. And you're doing it because Stephen Hawking gets more play than you do.
Stephen Hawking, you know...
Stephen Hawking, this thing with Stephen Hawking, this guy is a very, very accomplished scientist.
Oh, here we go. Now I got to hear him. But
well, he is... He's an accomplished scientist. That one guy last week said that Stephen Hawking knew something about how black holes disappear.
Oh, well, what, are you kidding me or something? Are you going to tell me that you know what that means?
Well, you know what it means.
Yes, I know what it means, and it doesn't mean anything. But it impresses guys like you. Stephen Hawking has done a lot of stuff, and most of it, I would, most of it, Phil, is throwaway back page of Popular Mechanics. But because there's guys like you in the world who get impressed by that, you think Stephen Hawking is magnificent. Well, I am telling you, he's not. And my son is going to prove that the Turner family...
So you can't achieve anything in the world of science. What you have to do is send your son out sailing on a boat in the Atlantic Ocean, all the oceans of the world, circumnavigate the globe, possibly kill himself doing this. And for what reason? Because daddy is going to get something out of it.
Well, you like to cheapen people up, don't you?
That's exactly what you're doing, though. And that's why I say... It is a dangerous thing and an irresponsible thing. You've heard other people say the same thing. Tony in Boston on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, when you said that his kid would be sailing around the world, the first thing he said is his son should be addressed as Dr. Well, I can't remember what his name is, his son. And that right there,
the only reason
you're doing this is for the glory of your name being involved. Because if you didn't care that your name was going to be involved or not, then you wouldn't press for your son to be addressed like that. He should be addressed by his own name.
His own name is Dr. Todgers.
His name is Dennis Turner, right?
Okay,
his name is Dr. Ron Turner's
son.
His name is Dr. Ron Turner's son, Dennis Turner.
That's not his name. His name is Dennis Turner.
You know, boy, this is great. I love you two guys telling me what my son's name is. That's one for the books. That's what
you're the one saying that he should be addressed to something to make sure that your name's involved in it.
Sir, may I ask you what you do for a living? Do you know by me asking?
What was that?
May I ask you what you do for a living?
What do I do?
Yes,
what does that have anything to do with how you're addressing your son?
Because I don't think you know what I'm up against in my field. I'm in the field of science. I'm an astronomer. Stephen Hawking is a physicist. But Stephen Hawking has
but
got...
You're upset because you're not known for any of your work, and you're going to use your son to try to get your name out there.
To get the family name out there, and so that the name of Hawking, just because he's doing a commercial for Hoveround?
But you're willing to risk your son for your name.
That's right. That's what everybody's saying.
Hold on, Mr. Henry, because I've heard your opinion. My son, Tony, is not going to be hurt. He's going to be the first one to go around the globe at the age of 13. And the one who's being risked, whose life is at risk, is this Dutch kid. You know why? She's from the Dutch, what do you call it?
The Netherlands.
She's from the Netherlands. They don't have a navy, so if something happens to her, she's dead. The boat sinks. My son
will
be rescued
by... the whole point. Your son's 13, and you're sending him in a situation that he could easily be injured or die in.
No.
I know. I have a son, and I wouldn't even let my kids sail past 10 o'clock at 13, because it's not safe and it's not dangerous, and I care about his well-being.
Of course you do, but on the open seas, what, is he going to get mugged out there? I don't think so.
You yourself said that there were pirates... You said there were pirates out of Cambodia.
No, wait a minute. Hold on with the pirates out of Cambodia. I'm saying to Tony that my son is going to be okay because the American Navy can rescue him. That Dutch kid, she ain't got diddly squat.
But putting your son in that situation says something about your character as
exactly.
It is before you even say
exactly. And the fact that the father, the fact that...
Exactly. You telling me my character? I don't have any character.
I'm saying whether we got an American Navy or whether there's a Dutch Navy. And thank you very much, Tony, for your call. Thank you, especially for your call after I blew it with those other two or that other gentleman.
You're talking about a-hole and...
I understand that I jumped that poor caller, okay? Now,
let me finish my thought, if I could. Is the gentleman still there?
No, he's gone.
Oh, you hung up? That's free speech for you.
What did you want to say?
What I want to say is, My son goes out there sailing the world. There's an American Navy that can rescue him. The Dutch kid, she gets into trouble. Who saves her? The long arm of the Dutch Navy? I doubt it. No, no, no.
877-876-PHIL. So that's it. Ron says that he's not an irresponsible father sending his son out to sail around the world, because if his son gets in trouble, the long arm of the American Navy can reach out to him. That Dutch kid, there ain't no long arm of the Dutch Navy. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Stephen Hawking, and we're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner with us. All we hear here, Dr. Tarner, is we discuss the proposed sailing around the world of your son, Dennis Tarner, while young Laura Decker from Holland is now trying this, is that your son will make the family proud. This is going to take Stephen Hawking off the front pages. Stephen Hawking this, Stephen Hawking that.
And Dennis Tarner, the son of Rod Tarner this, and Dennis Tarner, the son of Rod Tarner that. The thing you miss more than anything, Mr. Hendry, is that this is a family achievement, that Dennis is going to be very proud of himself when he does this, and that Stephen Hawking, as I prepare my son for this momentous event that is going to make him prouder than he's ever been in his life, Stephen Hawking, in his home around, is doing wheelies around his mansion and has a Twitter account. And why do people have Twitter accounts? I will propose to you that people have Twitter accounts because they want to pick up women. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Boy, you denigrate that man any way you can.
Denigrate who?
Hawking.
He's running around his mansion in a home around. He's got the endorsement money.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Susie on the line from Yakima, Washington, listening on KBBO. Hello, Susie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just have a couple of comments. Number one, thing that I find very, very offensive is this Dr. Tarner or whoever he is mentioning...
My name is Dr. Rod Tarner.
Dr. Tarner. Yes, I know we're talking
Dennis
about your
Tarner.
Son. However, you're mentioning over and over the nasty remarks about Stephen Hawking and the hover round for someone who is disabled
you,
and is one of the greatest minds
of
this century.
Here we go. Here we go. I do it.
Wait,
I do
would
it.
You like?
I knew it was coming.
Am I allowed to talk here?
Yeah, I would like to hear the caller, Ron, because we've heard you talking. Okay, so let's hear the caller.
This is what
thank
Hawking
you, Phil.
Does.
I'd like to get
to
in my.
In.
I'd like to get in my a couple of comments.
Can I say one thing? I got to ask you one thing, Susie. Did Stephen Hawking ask you to call? No, right?
You know what, sir?
No.
That is very offensive to
no,
Stephen
no, no. That's
Hawking
what he wanted me to ask you.
Well, I wanted to
of
know.
Of course, he
Hawking
didn't ask
these
you to
women.
Call.
All right, go ahead.
I have a mind of my own, unlike
Hawking,
you seem to have.
You know,
I would not send my
Hawking
child out
women.
In the middle of the ocean. Okay, listen.
Uh-huh.
You see, if you want to ride your son's coattails to fame,
no,
good for you.
I don't.
Oh, well, that sounds exactly what you're doing. And also,
he's
you're
riding my coattails to fame.
And repeating constantly, oh, who's going to save the poor little Dutch girl, the long arm of our Navy, blah, 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 blah,
that's
blah.
That's right.
Well,
not
you know
our
what?
Navy, don't.
America saves people from all kinds of situations. So why pick on some little Dutch
girl
that decides to do this?
I'm not paying my tax dollars to save a Dutch kid when my own kid is going to be out there, an American national who gets the protection of the U.S. Navy. Look it up. It's at the international
law. Look
it
up.
Look up
what?
Look up what? I mean, the American Navy can help people.
So you're telling me my tax dollars got to go to save it some Dutch kid and their own Navy can't do it? Wow.
Oh, so your tax dollars aren't helping to save people in Haiti and all kinds of other countries that we're saving all the time? That's your tax dollars
they
don't go
not
for that either?
They better not be. They better not be.
Oh, really?
Well,
yeah. What tax dollars are you referring to? What tax dollars are you referring to? I know contributions. I know charitable contributions, not tax dollars.
Let's not talk about this. Let's stay on point, can we? That we're talking, that Susie was asking you about your attitude toward Hawking.
All right, let's talk about Stephen Hawking. Susie is a female and very typical of women that are in love with Hawking.
Oh, let's get a little chauvinistic, shall we, sir?
Isn't it
shall
true?
We?
Women love his mind.
You are not only disparaging people who are disabled, you're disparaging women now. You might as well take your son, drop him off the end of a dock with cement blocks on the end of his feet, and see who saves him. And that's all I've got to say, because you are sacrificing your own son for your own.
I've been more respectful to Stephen Hawking than you have. I think he's got more going on than you think he does.
I doubt it. I have not made any stupid remarks about the hover round over and over again.
You keep talking about how disabled he is. I keep saying that this
I mentioned one time was that he was disabled. One time.
Yeah,
you have mentioned the hover round thing over and over and over again. I can't count how many times you mentioned that. And that you're a physicist and he's done nothing.
I have been in an observatory while that guy talks about a black hole disappearing. Poppin' wheelies, yes, on his hover round. And that endorsement money he gets is obscene.
How do you know he's getting endorsed? You said to me that you don't even know that he's got the endorsement money.
It's a fait accompli.
Yeah, uh-huh. Thank you very much, Susie, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We got a very quick call from Deborah. Deborah, we have about a minute. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Well, it's evident, Dr. Turner, that you are very ignorant. I agree with everything that last caller said. My comment is that I would only hope that somebody with HRS Child Services, being that your child is only 13 years old and you are forcing him, I think somebody ought to report you. This is not right and this is not fair to your child.
You better hope they know how to swim because
need to be out there with nothing. You need to be out
that's
there on
that
boat. Your son.
Why don't you go out with your son? Why don't you make it a two-man thing, you and your son?
What? That's not going to set the record. We need to set records, and that's what the Turner family does.
Protect your child.
I protect my child.
You are to be responsible as a responsible adult and watch out for the well-being of your child, and you are not doing that. And I hope somebody reports you.
You're telling me, so him out of Wheaties box isn't looking out for him. Boy, I'd like to know what your idea of responsibility is. My son out of Wheaties box? What other kid could claim that in the world? What are the 13... Hello?
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, this is no substitute for a referendum on the president.
People do oftentimes find themselves dealing with...
A double dip coming in housing and the residential...
If you want to fly a flag that represents something you believe in.
If anybody has pictures for us out there.
Think it's pretty gay.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And where through the looking glass we go every single night to find a little piece of that and more. Welcome back. How many text messages do you think the average kid sends every month? Well, the answer will probably astound you. Maybe it won't. It didn't really astound me so much as it reaffirmed what I already suspected, I guess. So we've got that answer. Plus, the Muslim Disney employee gets suspended for not wearing the kind of clothing that you're supposed to wear when you're a member of the character cast there at Disneyland. Welcome to our show, 877-876-PHIL, another hour of our show here. Phil Hendry along with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman as we do our news hour. And this hour we will also have National Socialist Radio coming up.
What's that?
Yeah. I know. You haven't done that in a long time. No, we have National Socialist Radio coming up because Adolf Hitler, it turns out, has chromosomal, or his family has chromosomal evidence with this whole DNA genome thing that people do now. They found relatives of Hitler, right?
He didn't have a kid or anything. I thought he only had one testicle.
Well, first of all, I don't know whether he only had one testicle or not, but they found he's got a cousin that's alive.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And the cousin's like a German farmer, and so they took a DNA swab from him. Hitler has like 37 living relatives.
But he only had one testicle.
What difference does that make?
You could have a cousin or something, man. Got nothing to do with his testicle.
You're talking about him having kids, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any difference. And that by the way, that's a rumor, man. That hasn't been verified. Anyway, you know, I think it's fair to assume that Adolf Hitler was at least competent in the bedroom because he had this woman in his life, and she was willing to go down she was willing to go up the chimney with him. So, I mean, that's love and commitment, ain't it?
Well, she might be like it when a guy just doesn't touch her. That might get her off.
Yeah, that's right, man. That really, women, boy, there's a whole school of thought on that with women. Oh, I know. How about if the guy doesn't touch you? So anyway, why did I bring all this crap up, man? Oh, yeah, National Socialist Radio. So anyway, this genome thing, or this the chromosomes, that the chromosomal evidence in the Hitler family is that he has strains of Sephardic Jew, which is the Spanish Jewish people, strains of Moroccan, Algerian. So Uncle Adolf, man, when it can't, the racial purity thing, forget it.
Not even there, huh?
No, not even there. I mean, that guy, if he hadn't been the Fuhrer, they would have stuck his ass in a concentration camp. Anyway, that's coming up on National Socialist Radio. So, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And our website, philhenryshow.com. And we were just talking here about the variety of which is probably a better conversation for another day. But I just want you to know that we have brand new downloads available for you, the downloads of July 2004. I mean, there's so many plans we've got for our website in terms of our live streaming video, making it available on whatever phone you've got. The Android phone, I'm told now, is beating the pants off of the iPhone in terms of what it can do. Most people have iPhones. Not a lot of people have the Android, and yet the Android is more versatile. Then we have the, we eventually want to have an iPhone app for our show. But do we have it for the iPhone or do we have it for the Android? What kind of app should we have? And so on and so forth. Now, Jason Rance, my producer, has, what do you got, man, a BlackBerry or an Android? You were going to check to see if you're getting the video tonight. If he can see the video cast, which is on our website, philhenryshow.com. I guess he can't. I don't know. What kind of phone do you have? Anyway, our number 877, oh, he's working on it. He's got an Android, so you're working on it. All right. 877-876-PHIL. The reason why I'm bringing all of this up to you guys is very, very interesting headline. Consumers dropping pay TV services. Consumers dropping pay TV services. Now, that's not exactly what it appears, but let me get into this story. And again, knowing these trends, probably being in my business, it's more important perhaps to me than it would be for a lot of you guys. But if you play the stock market, if you're interested in how the culture, which direction the American consumer is going in terms of entertainment and information, this is really interesting. The number of subscribers to cable, satellite, and telecom television services in the U.S. fell for the first time ever in the second quarter, according to research firm SNL Kagan. Now, listen, the U.S. multi-channel TV market lost 216,000 customers last quarter versus a gain of 378,000 customers a year ago. That is what they call year-to-year. So last year, they were at a certain level. They've dropped 217,000 from that. That means they haven't lost their entire gain from last year, but they've lost a bit of it. The total number of subscribers to cable, satellite, and telecom video fell to 100.1 million in the second quarter. Now, most of that loss, though, came from cable television. Because if you separate out the numbers, listen to this. Cable TV firms lost 711 subscribers last quarter, but satellite and telecom TV added 81,000 and 414,000 subscribers. What does that mean? Satellite television, 81,000. Telecom TV, what you can get over your phone. That's why we were talking about Android, iPhone, This is the media revolution that I've been talking to you guys about, and I know you know that it's going on, but do you know, do you really know how it's going? In other words, do you understand, you know, you see a lot of gadgets. You know what I see on my side of the microphone here? You guys are listening to me tonight.
Well, you don't see anything. You're just looking at a computer.
Oh, but don't try to be funny.
Yeah, shut up, man.
I'm not trying to be funny, so you know what I see.
I'm talking about the story. What do I see? People, when they hear me say this, they hear, oh, yeah, you're right, Phil. There's a lot of really cool gadgets. You're right. Telecom TV and satellite TV, people are looking for a more portable and more convenient way of accessing what they want to access. What do I hear as a content provider? I hear that people want content, more content. They want content for their phone. They want content on satellite. And the other area that is growing by leaps and bounds, that is broadband internet. Okay? People are bypassing the traditional service providers, and they are going to OTT TV, a video programming delivered over broadband internet. Your internet, watching television by way of the computer. So what is the upshot? It isn't any longer about televisions as opposed to computers, as opposed to cellular phones, which one's winning. That's got nothing to do with nothing. What it has to do with is this, content, and how do you want it delivered to you? Do you want it on your phone? Do you want it on your TV? Do you want it on your computer? Do you want it on your iPod? Do you want it on your iPad? Do you want it on your MaxiPad?
That'd be hysterical, give it on a MaxiPad.
Shut up.
That was pretty funny.
What pad do you want it on, okay? Although it is tempting to point to over-the-top video as a potential culprit, over-the-top meaning the video programming delivered over broadband internet, we believe economic factors such as low housing formation and high unemployment rate contributed to subscriber declines in the second quarter. And that might very well be. I'm not discounting that the economy has caused people to say, geez, you know, I mean, our subscription service on our website, we have seen growth every single month. Now, is it record-breaking growth? We had a 20% jump in March, and we've seen incremental increases ever since then. And I got to tell you, I'm grateful to our subscribers. I'm grateful to the people that listen to our show and that enjoy the content of our show, because we're bucking a trend here, man, with our website. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that we are in a recession, and anybody that takes a look at this raw data, anybody that's in the business of providing content, takes a look at this. You want to get yourself ready for when we are finally out of this bloody recession, whenever the hell that is, right? You want to get ready and be in position to do some business. So forget about cable TV, because that ain't where it's at anymore. We're talking about all different manner of delivering content. Most analysts believe the over-the-top TV eventually could upend pay TV business. Over-the-top TV is video programming delivered over broadband internet and bypassing traditional service providers.
I understand none of that, man.
What it means is, man, do you watch TV or do you not?
You know I watch TV.
Right, but you watch it on your computer.
Yeah, man, you watch it on your laptop. And you watch it on like, what, you got a BlackBerry?
I got a BlackBerry only because it's way better than that. BlackBerry beats iPhone by a mile. You don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe, man, but I like my iPhone, okay?
Yeah, but can you get the Phil Henry streaming video on that?
You will. Don't worry about it, man. Our streaming video right now is top of the line. You tune into the streaming video of this show right now, and it is the best video quality you got anywhere on the internet. I don't give a crap. Who's providing it? Akamai, baby. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, National Socialist Radio still to come, plus America's 10 most bed-bug-infested cities. Oh, yeah. Coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
Shut up, man. I was talking.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're going to tell you here about the hijab thing at Disneyland. Phil Hendry Show, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. What'd you find out, Robert?
All right, now the Android phone, if you get an upgrade on the Android, it's going to have Adobe Flash at the end of the summer. It's going to support the Phil Hendry streaming video.
All right, so there you go. That's what we got to get, right?
Yeah, but you don't have that. You have stupid iPhone.
Have you got an Android?
No, but I got BlackBerry.
Well, I don't know whether my show comes in on BlackBerry or not.
Yeah, it does.
Well, then that's the answer, man, the Android, you know?
I think so, man. I mean, unless iPhone can support, because you got Flash Adobe on your live streaming video.
See, I don't, you know, I like my iPhone because I can use update the website from it, but I don't see why I can't do that.
Yeah, you can do it for any kind of phone. It's the Apple are the only one that's going to let you do that.
Yeah, you can do anything you want. Yeah, quit being, you should tell them what you want. Tell Apple what they want.
Tell Apple what they want.
Tell Apple, is that what it's called, Apple?
Apple, not Apo. Tell them what they want. I got to tell them what I want. That's what I want.
Yeah, right.
Whatever I said. Disney, so anyway, at the end of the summer, Android's coming out with an upgrade that will enable you to get our live streaming video show on the Android phone while it's happening. And, of course, our on-demand. So, ideally, what a lot of people enjoy is they sit down to have breakfast, they turn on our video from the night before, they throw up, and it puts them off their, you know, their appetite.
Yeah, and then they leave for work earlier.
Yeah, and they get out of the house earlier. All right, Disney rejects Muslim hostess in hijab dispute after she rejected Disney suspends Muslim hostess, although they did kind of reject her after she rejected them. So Disney suspends Muslim hostess in hijab dispute after she rejected a third alternative head covering. A Muslim woman who is fighting for the right to wear her religious scarf to her hostess job at Disneyland has been taken off the schedule. Now, right there, I don't think is a very honest sentence. She's fighting for the right? There's no right to wear your Muslim scarf to your hostess job at Disneyland. There is your perceived right, but there is no right. Disney officials say they stopped putting Iman Burle on the schedule during the ongoing issue because the whole thing was giving him a headache. The Hotel Workers Union claims that Boodle, a restaurant hostess at Disney's Grand Californian Hotel, was suspended without pay. On Tuesday, Boodle rejected a third alternative head covering that Disney provided, and she was sent home for the eighth time. Disney previously offered Boudlal four other assignments that would allow her to wear her own headscarf called a hijab, which some Muslim women choose to wear as a form of modesty. Disney is known for its strict dress code called the Disney look. Quote, says Ms. Boudlal, "The Constitution tells me I can be a Muslim and I can wear the headscarf. Who is Disney to tell me I cannot? You've been here, what, 5 years, however long, you're a citizen now for 14 seconds, and you're telling me what the Constitution says. Do you understand the fights that we've had in this country interpreting the Constitution as to contemporary standard? And we've come to the conclusion that a worker must adhere to a reasonable dress code if imposed by the employer, or they don't have to bloody well work there. The employer, for their part, may not have anything other than a safe working environment, a healthy working environment. They may not work their workers too hard or too long. They must pay them a certain amount of money. We've been down this road a long time, young lady, before you ever made the scene, baby. We got Muslims, we got Jains, we got Catholics, we got them all, man. We got Jews, we got the curly Q thing with the beanie. We got it all, man. We got chicks out in Texas on that compound there, that goofy thing with the bun hairdo. Every kind of religion known to mortal man we got. And we got churches. And we got mosques. You talk about building a mosque. We got mosques all through New York, all up and down Manhattan. And we got every kind of bloody synagogue and church and temple and you know... We got everything that you need, man, in this country, okay? But the one thing we ain't got people walking into a private place of business and saying, my religion tells me that this and though, and they get to just do whatever they want. No, you don't. Now, there have been compromises with regard to religious holidays. Yes, we have given people off certain days. Some have become traditional in terms of the culture. Many people think, for instance, that Christmas is a religious holiday. Well, yes, it is for Christians. It's not a religious holiday, though, for non-Christians. It's a seasonal festival. It's a seasonal observance. It's a seasonal celebration. For me, and for others who may not be really hardcore Christians, although I am a Catholic, it represents more of a tradition than it does a religious holiday. And we give that day off. Jewish people are entitled to have certain days off, as are Muslims. That is our concession to religion. And there are others. You are not taxed if you have a church and so forth. You go up and down the streets of America, you see every kind of place of worship there is. But you do not get to watch my television set.
That's from Heat.
I mean, yeah, I got that wrong.
Yeah, you got that from Heat.
I mean, that, yeah. You do not get to wear your headscarf. I was thinking of Al Pacino in Heat.
Yeah, that was a great line, though.
Right, but that's got nothing to do with... You do not get to wear your headscarf when they tell you, no, you don't get to, especially when it is not a religiously required. See, that's the thing she's not telling anybody. That's the dishonest part. She's not religiously required to wear that. She's choosing to wear that. Why is she choosing to wear it? Well, some may say it's because she's a very strict observer of her faith. I don't buy that. I think she's choosing to wear it to be a pain in the ass. I think she's choosing to wear it to self-aggrandize, to say, look at me, you know, I'm challenging authority. I'm 28 years old, I don't have a whole hell of a lot going for me, I just got my U.S. citizenship, why don't I kick off my stay in my new adopted home by being a pain in everybody's ass with my headscarf? All right. Yeah.
Way to do it.
Disney is known for its strict dress code. Okay, anyway, Budlal, through the union, described the most recent head covering as an oversized chef's hat. She previously rejected a hat over a bonnet. The hat makes a joke of my religion. Yeah, sure, that's what it does. And draws even more attention to me, Budlal says. It's unacceptable. They don't want me to look Muslim. Of course they don't. They just don't want the head covering to look like a hijab. Right. 2 months ago, Budlal told her manager she wanted a religious accommodation to the company's dress code to wear the scarf to work during the holy month of Ramadan and beyond. Disney, however, refused, Budlal says. On August 15th, Budlal wore her hijab to work, but was told that if she wanted to work as a hostess, she'd have to remove the headscarf. Disney told her she could work in the back of the restaurant away from the customers or go home without pay. She chose to go home. Disney says the company has very strict uniform rules. Typically, somebody in an onstage position like hers wouldn't wear something like that. That's not part of the costume. On stage. You see how Disney is? Everybody's on stage because it is a performance. Well, there you go. All right, coming up, National Socialist Radio. We'll interview Adolf Hitler on the fact that he may have some Algerian blood and Jewish blood. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, I'll get Mr. Hitler ready.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And good morning. This is National Socialist Radio for this morning. Wednesday, August 25th on National Socialist Radio. Hans Pfizer will be with us later on the new V1 rocket and the rocket bases there in northern Germany. And we'll also have with us Andrik Paulus, who will talk about the difficulty of negotiating the British Spitfires there in the Battle of Britain. And we'll have our news headlines now. Hitler had Jewish and African roots, DNA tests show. Adolf Hitler is likely to have had Jewish and African roots, according to a DNA test. And also in New Jersey, parents who gave their children Nazi-inspired names like Adolf Hitler, they've lost custody of those children. And we also have a story here about the Führer was saved by an undercover police officer from being kicked to death by a mob. So that's some interesting news here this morning. And they are joined this morning, as we are on a semi-regular basis, by the Führer and the Mein Führer. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good. Very good.
So it's a lot of news, huh?
A lot of news, and most of it, you know, the usual rumor. But I don't, for my own purpose, not have had the opportunity to read this, you know.
Well, let's start with this first story. And also, I've got a phone call in here to Hermann Göring, the head of the Luftwaffe, and the Reichsmarschall is on the phone. Are you there, Reichsmarschall?
Yeah, right here.
All right.
Good. I want to speak with him about the trying to get the radar station, you know?
No. You want to talk to that?
Yes. Were we going to say that in conference?
No, the radar station now. We are going to send over our boys. Don't worry.
Don't tell me not to worry. You know, it's good. You know, I have been waiting for I don't know how long for him to knock out the radar stations, and also the air bases in England. And this fat ass starts to bomb the cities. You know.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about that? Can we, Reichsmarschall?
You want me to speak of what? To people that don't know what I'm saying?
No, everybody knows what we're saying. Did I say to you, you bomb the air bases in England and you go out to the city? Why?
Because we want to demoralize the citizen, you know. Why we do that?
Who is the Führer? Are you the Führer or me?
Because we want...
No. Who's the Führer? You or me?
You're the Führer.
Okay, so when I say to you, why don't we bomb the air base and you go after the city, your Coventry Garden and this kind of jazz, what's that mean?
I blew it.
You blew it, yeah. You blew it.
Yeah, you know.
Or the words of Robert De Niro, you blew it. Yeah, that movie that we see the other night, Herman.
Yeah.
The movie the other night with De Niro, you know, you blew it.
All right, I blew it, but the attack on the air base was having absolutely no effect.
Yes, it was having effect. But the problem is they broke our code, you know, forget it.
Well, this is an interesting conversation, isn't it?
Well, you know, I have this all the time with him.
Now, if you know, what we'll tweet, believe me, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
All right, well, this is Hans Pfizer, and let me say this is National Socialist Radio. Here we have the Führer on the phone. On the phone we have Reichsmarschall Hermann Göring. So, mein Führer, Adolf Hitler is likely to have had Jewish and African roots, DNA tests have shown. What do you think?
What do you want? You know, what do you say? You know, you say it's been fun. You say game's up. You say how could I know? I don't know. You know,
well, apparently they are tested on some of your relatives.
Yeah, you know. So I'm a Jew. You know, but let's say this. I know a lot of Jews. I've got Jews. I let Jews out of concentration camp all the time, you know. It's not about Jews anymore. It's about communists, you know. That's really what the Bolshevik, you know.
But mein Führer, you all said that Bolshevism was the product of the Jew.
It was the product of the Jew, but look, I can't very well. Hey, it's not a calling card for me anymore, you know, because look, and I'm black. Good God. You know, it doesn't get any worse than that, you know. To say that, you know.
That's why I said, do you want me to take over? If you're black, if you're Jew.
Why don't you do everybody a favor and just sit there and listen, all right?
But, you know.
Just sit there and listen.
Mein Führer, this brings to mind something, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hermann Göring, Reichsmarschall, had sent you a telegram saying that he felt that you were indisposed or you were not able to effect the duties of the Führer. He took over, and yet you wanted to have him arrested. Why was that?
Why was that? Because I was doing fine.
Yeah, but I didn't know that, you know.
Well, if you just, you know something, fat boy, God.
He goes again with the weight, you know.
Well, it's not a very mature thing.
Don't worry. Your fat ass that I've been, you know, I carried you and carried you. You know, let me tell you about this guy. You know,
I sent a telegram.
No, hold on. I got to tell the people. This guy, he got a big, big name for himself. You know, First World War, he was at Richthofen and those guys, right?
Oh, yeah, he was at Bernd von Richthofen?
Yeah, he was at Flying Circus, right? Hey, Herman, what, you want to tell the story again?
No, I was at Bloody Red Baron, you know, Bernd von Richthofen Flying Circus. And
that's enough. So anyway, big man, right? So he joins the party, so I bring him along. And I give him this job. And ever since I make this guy, Reich Marshal, you know, head of Luftwaffe, a fat slob sitting around all day long, he's ripping people off, you know. He's, well, I wanted to say about the paintings.
But I don't pay the paintings.
Don't you're stealing paintings? Oh, yeah, you're stealing paintings, freaking thief. Let me tell you something. Number one, if I've got African and Jewish roots, it isn't because I wasn't trying not to have any, but I don't know. I was trying to clean the whole thing up. I don't know. As far as this New Jersey couple, I don't know who they are. And secondly, no one tried to kick me to death. And thirdly, that's about all I've got. So, well, mein Führer, this is a very good conversation with you, but I'd like to be more far-reaching at some point in the future, you know, when we have some time and we don't have fat ass, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
You asked, you called me. I didn't call you. You called me.
Next time we don't have fat ass.
Yeah, they don't have fat ass.
You called?
National Socialist Radio. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show. And he'll be back right after this. 877-876-PHIL.
I didn't call you.
It's the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Here's another guy that doesn't know anything. This is another guy that's taken an argument, a traditional argument, and now he's turned it into something else. You know.
You talk about a guy with a tea party? That, he stands for First Amendment.
Just hold the phone, okay?
Well, that's Latin, too.
No, wait just a second. Just a second. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. All right. Forget about that for just a second, will you? This is the Homeowners Association flag controversy, part 861. Now, what are we talking about here? The American flag? No. This one, we're talking about the Tea Party flag. Now, it's got nothing to do with my political point of view. Nothing to do with it at all, okay?
Yeah, you don't like it, though, because of Tea Party, right?
No, I did. It's got nothing to do with it, man. This guy, his name is Ed Turner. He wants to fly the tea... Who is Ed freaking Turner? Who the hell is he?
A guy named Ed McDonald.
All right, an Arizona man is fighting his homeowners association over a flag that many are using to represent the Tea Party movement. Andy McDonald is flying the flag outside his Levine, Arizona home. The 3-foot by 5-foot yellow flag has a picture of a serpent and the words, "Don't tread on me." Whoop-de-doo, a phrase picked up by the Tea Party movement recently, but to McDonald, a flag isn't political, it's patriotic. He's been flying the flag since January, but recently his HOA asked him to take it down. Who's Ed Turner? Is what I've been asking here for the last 15 minutes. Anyway, he's a neighbor, okay. He's been flying the flag. He's appealed to the board. He was denied. He's now been fined for flying the flag. McDonald says he's not taking the flag down and support and neighbors support McDonald's decision to fly it. And here's Ed Turner, who's one of the neighbors. He says, if you want to fly the flag that represents something you believe in, then you should be able to do it without anyone telling you that you don't have a First Amendment right. That's right, Ed. So I can fly a swastika flag next to your house. You'll be cool with that, right? Or how about the hammer and sickle? Or how about a big-ass flag about how bitchin' I think Obama is? You cool with that? You think I'm kidding? I move in next door to Ed Turner there in Levine, Arizona, and fly the hammer and sickle, man. Bull crap. Now, I'm not saying the don't tread on me flag is anything like that. What I'm saying is this, and this is what these people don't get. When all of this stuff erupted, it was about the Stars and Stripes. Now, what is the Stars and Stripes? Well, to some jackasses and pains in the ass and jackballs, the Stars and Stripes might as well be a hammer and sickle flag or a swastika flag. All right, because they're stupid. But the fact is, to the overwhelming majority of us, regardless of our political point of view, the Stars and Stripes is the symbol of our home, America. So we fly that flag. It has no political leaning. It has no, there's no political representation to the Stars and Stripes, to the Star Spangled Banner. It is the American flag. So when a guy is told to remove the American flag, we take exception to that. We take exception to it because we say, wait a second. I know you have a homeowners association thing, and I get that, and I understand that you people that live in a certain town, you don't want to see the fire department flying the flag, although for God, I don't know why, what your problem is, but by God, a man's home in a homeowners association, if he is in, if he is adhering to a size regulation, which I think is reasonable, he ought to be able to fly the American flag. We're not talking about flying a Nazi flag, a stars and a hammer and sickle, or even something more benign, something like the Tea Party flag, or maybe a, you know, Obama flag, or, you know, something that is a part of the American political dialogue. They're saying, hey, you know, not cool. We don't like it. And I understand that. I accept that. The American flag is different. The American flag is not the Tea Party flag, and it ain't the Obama flag, and it ain't none of that. It's the American flag. Fly the American flag. Now, I got a homeowners association. What do you got? Well, I'm going to put the Tea Party flag up. Well, no, that's not part of the deal. Hey, man, to me, that's America. Well, is it really? If you allow that damn Tea Party flag, then who's going to make the decision as to whose flag is okay to fly? Do you understand? Or is that too much for you, man? All right, let's listen to some of these brain surgeons talking about this. Here is Andy McDonald. Here's the guy. He's in Levine, Arizona, and he tells Fox 10 News in Phoenix that his flag, well, it isn't going anywhere.
If you want to fly a flag that represents something you believe in, then you should be able to do it without anyone telling you that you don't have a First Amendment right.
I think it's the same as a freedom of speech. You know, it's a flag that anybody should be able to fly, no matter what it's for.
Here are two neighbors. Actually, that was Ed Turner and Andy. Here are two neighbors supporting Andy.
There's no way that I'm going to take the flag down because...
Okay, we got that audio mixed up. Here is Andy McDowell, or whatever his name. Andy McDowell. Andy McDowell's a model.
Yeah. But it might be Andy McDowell.
This may be Andy McDowell, and something's happened to her.
There's no way that I'm going to take the flag down because an uneducated board member or an uneducated management company member doesn't recognize what the flag truly is. This flag is a flag of conviction. The founding fathers fought to establish this great country.
No, man, you don't get to co-opt the founding of America and the actual symbols of America. You don't get to co-opt for your political point of view. Okay? You can stand there and say you are this and that, but you don't get to do that. That's got nothing to do with anything. If I was a member of the Tea Party, if I was a, and there are a lot of things the Tea Party stands for that I might actually like, you don't get to do that. Anyway.
I don't know, man. I mean, the Don't Tread on Me and everything, they had that in the John Adams movie.
So they had it in the John Adams movie. So what?
Yeah, but they're running around with it. That's a symbol of America.
No. We got one symbol of America. It's called the flag, the stars and stripes. You understand?
Yeah, but what about the Don't Tread on Me?
That's what they had back in the Revolutionary War period before the country was formally established. We had all kinds of flags.
Yeah, dude, but in the John Adams miniseries...
Forget about the John Adams. Audio's got garbage, too. Grandfather's ghost story leads to mysterious mass grave. Dig this. I saw this on the news. I thought, I'm always very interested in the history of our country, particularly when it comes to little-known events that involve, large losses of life, let's say. Malvern, Pennsylvania is where this story was filed from. This is a mass grave, says Bill Watson, as he is leading the way through the thick Pennsylvania woods in a suburb about 30 miles from Pennsylvania. Duffy's Cut, as it's now called, is a short walk from a suburban cul-de-sac in Malvern, an affluent town of the fabled Main Line. Now, twin brothers Bill and Frank Watson believe 57 Irish immigrants met violent deaths there after a cholera epidemic struck in 1832. Now, this is near, as we said, an affluent town, Malvern, off of the fabled main line in Philadelphia. They suspect foul play of these Irish immigrants. This is a murder mystery from 178 years ago. Now, the brothers first heard about Duffy's cut from their grandfather, a railroad worker, who told the ghost story to his family every Thanksgiving. According to local legend, memorialized in a file kept by the Pennsylvania Railroad, a man walking home from a tavern reported seeing blue and green ghosts dancing in the mist on a warm September night in 1909, which is 101 years ago. I saw with my own eyes the ghosts of the Irishman who died with the cholera a month ago, a dancing around the big trench where they were buried. It's true, mister. It was awful. When he says a month ago, he means that's when he saw these alleged ghosts. They died, remember, in the 1830s, 1832. When Frank inherited the file of his grandfather's old railroad papers, the brothers began to believe the ghost stories were real. They suspected that the files contained clues to the location of a mass grave. One of the pieces of correspondence in this file told us X marks the spot, said Frank. He added that the document suggested that the men were buried where they were making the fill, which is the original railroad bridge. They built a bridge using landfill, and they might have buried these 52 Irish immigrants in this landfill. In 2002, the brothers began digging and searching. They found forks and remnants of a shanty. And in 2005, what Bill Watson calls the Holy Grail, a pipe with an Irish flag on it. They knew they were close, but Bill said they needed hard science to get them to the next step. The science came from Tim Bechtel, a geophysicist who learned about the project from a colleague at the University of Pennsylvania who had heard the Watson brothers speak. The friend knew Bechtel could provide the missing link that the brothers' excavation efforts needed. So Bechtel's work included earth scans, which can help detect where underground, what's underground without digging or drilling. Boy, are we going to have enough time here? All right. By shooting electrical current through the slope, Bechtel said he learned there were oddball areas or places where the current wouldn't pass through. We saw areas on the slope that were very electrically resistant. Now, this was an initial indicator something might lie in the surface, beneath the surface. The further digging Bechtel and Watson went to, they detected air bubbles above the coffins. Well, it was the beginning of many puzzle pieces. One of the students came running about 2 in the afternoon one day, and they had a human bone in their hand. A teeny-weeny little fragment like that is so chock-full of information, said Janet Monge, holding up the jawbone and teeth found at Duffy's site. She's an anthropologist from the University of Pennsylvania. She's collected bones from 7 skeletons now unearthed at Duffy's cut, including 4 skulls. Poring over the bones with her green spectacles sitting low on her nose, she said she's focused attention on the skulls, and a lot of them look as if wounds have been inflicted. 52 Irish immigrants, 1832, and they're just now figuring out that these people might not have died of cholera. They might have been murdered and buried in a mass grave in Malvern, Pennsylvania.
Well, what about the rest of it?
The show's over. Our show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wagon. And, of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft on the phones. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry.